Yeah, do it.
Shift's done.
Sorry, it's not a shear, it's a workshop.
Okay. New York Times Magazine during the summer, entitled God is in the Marketing. It's a very important piece about a church called Willow Creek Church, which started out with about 500 people on the weekends, and now it has close to 14,000 people showing up every Sunday. It's a wonderful model for us to utilize as well. Devin HaMelech writes, Tamur'u ki tov Hashem, taste and see that Hashem is good. In many of our communities, we're doing wonderful outreach work from beginner services, crash courses in Hebrew, basic Judaism. And the challenges are greater than ever as to how to deal with many of these new faces that are coming into shul. There are many people that feel they are Jewish, yet if we look a little bit deeper, we found they've undergone conversions that might not be halachic. There are a number of intermarried couples that might be coming in. One spouse is Jewish, wants to learn how to read. How do we deal with these other members of the party as well? We're privileged this morning to have with us Rav Gedalia Schwartz. I feel inadequate to introduce him properly. He's the Av Basin of the RCA Basin, as well as the head of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. He's very involved with Kashrus and Geirus, and any words of praise that I can give him are simply not enough. Rav Gedalia Schwartz has asked that we please wait to ask any questions till the very end. He's completed his presentation, and then the format is not only a shiur today, but a workshop, and he'll be more than happy to take everyone's questions at the end. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce Rav Gedalia Schwartz.
The two sheets that you have in front of you, or you should have in front of you, actually cover the Mikvahs of many different shiurim and called workshops, rabbinic practicums, whatever you want to call it. And so I don't expect to cover every detail of the marker that you find there. What I'm going to do is try to touch on some of the highlights or in the system of, or the procedure having to do with Giyur. Now the first item there that I have is Kavanah LeGiyur. So you're faced all with this problem. If someone comes and wants to be a prospective candidate for conversion, for Gavis. Well, Gemara has, of course, an entire program, if I may use that term, as to what the Kavanah is. The Kavanah stated there, actually, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and it's taken verbatim right into the Shulchan Aruch there in Yehudeah, Reis Samaches. It's interesting that all of the halachas, basically, of Giyur are summarized and outlined in only two simanim in Yehudeah, Reis Samaches and Reis Samaches. If you were to ask a rav out in the field how many shilas he has in Tefes or Shechita or the other things which cover such a vast and complicated area, the answer would probably almost be nothing. And with Giyur, you have this growth, this constant ramification of different shilas, of problems, of intention, of situations, and specific cases. Now, the Gemara there talks about basically what we would call someone who comes without any ulterior motives. The Lashon of the Gemara, which is familiar to you, should, it says there, Tone Rabbanon Geir Shebor Geir, these matters there, Amen Lo Marle Isa Shebor Silas Geir. What's your purpose? What's your reason? Why are you becoming a Geir? And he has to be told literally the situation of the Jewish people. He had to Yadesh Yisrael, this man Azer, the Buyim, the Hufim, the Skufim, the Turofim. In other words, the Jewish people are harassed, persecuted, attacked, vilified, whatever translation we give for all that series of Lashanus that you have there. The Gemara, the Jewish people are constantly exposed to different types of harassment. And Yisurim boy Malayim, all the troubles, if he immediately responds, I know about this, Ve'eni Kadai, I'm really not worthy to become part of the Jewish people. Then it says, Mekabli Meisimiyak. There's an immediate reason for accepting him, basically, as a candidate. And then he's told certain things. Ve'madiyan Isa Miktas Kalos V'chamurus, he's made aware of certain what we call more lenient mitzvahs, more of the more stringent mitzvahs, and Modianoiser Abon Nikleket Shikol Peyo Maiserani. The Brisa focuses on specific mitzvahs having to do with tzedakah, which the Gemara explains later, because the Goyim were not even Meichel al Thomas Mishav Akuta. They have to learn that the use of money to be able to be Meichel, you have to be able to part with it, give it away, give it for tzedakah, and so forth. And then it says, Modianos, a very important point, onshin shel mitzvahs. They have to be told the penalty for not observing mitzvahs. And they use specific examples. Before you become converted, you ate chayla, you don't have to have any punishment of koros. Chalalta Shabbos, Yato on the skila is no isis nin skila, the achshavachalta chelum on the shkoros and so forth. I'm trying to make it as concise as possible. We have to pay a penalty. Then we do the opposite. Modian aisei matan scharos on mitzvahs. You tell them this is the reward for the mitzvahs. And up to now, I mean, why is that such a important point? I always like to explain that the idea is that you tell them the reward. There's celestial rewards. But you don't see the reward. That's a big challenge to somebody. Someone says, look, I do the mitzvah, where's my reward? I'm doing everything right, where's the habit? That's a challenge for the prospective convert to accept. Now, then the Gemara proceeds, and at least in the Brisa, to describe also some aspects of possible more motivation, where it says, the following, that the Yisrael Bizman Hazeh Einim Yechevon Mekabel Olov Tova V'Olov Korkoronis. Jewish people are in a sort of a dilemma. If they get in such a good state of well-being, they're liable to sin. This is a possibility. Life becomes slipshod. It's a concept of Vayishman Yeshurun Vayiva. And then on the other hand, V'Olov Korkoronis, they can't. They're going to be under a lot of pressures. The thing is going to terrible things happen in the world. All of these things are made aware to the prospective geir. But then it says an important thing, which some people don't realize: ain marvin olav, ain adagdikin olav. We don't make it too hard. We don't push him away to some extent. Now there is something out there which people always quote. They say you have to push the geir away three times. Now, if you were to go through the Gemara, you will not find that. It's not found in the Shas, it's not found in the Pesukim, and it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch. Where do you find it? It's based on a Medrash, on the Medrash of Rus, where if you count the times that Naomi said to Rus, it's three times. In fact, the Torah Tmima, look there, Rus will mention that. But in Tzaken and Halacha, it's not mentioned. Not mentioned at all. In fact, from the Gemara here, from the Brisa here, it says, Mekabli Meisa Meyad, you immediately accept him. Don't push him away. It doesn't say about dissuading him or anything else of that sort. So, but you just make him aware of the possibility, because making aware of the tremendous onus of responsibility on a candidate for Giyur is, in a way, the Dichli. That's the way it's trying to, as if to say, keep him at arm's length, and that would be the method of trying to dissuade him. So, here, then they describe the process of Nila. In fact, one thing I've always found rather interesting, that it doesn't say anything about teaching the Ger to do mitzvahs. It doesn't say anything in that Brisa about a training period. Well, how is he going to observe Shabbos? He doesn't know what Shabbos is. How is he going to observe Kashrus? He doesn't know what observe Kashrus. So he comes off the street and comes to the rabbi and says, look, I've read about Judaism. I want to become a Ger. And he faces and he accepts it. He seems to be sincere, but doesn't mean that next week you make him a Ger. From learning the Brisa, it says, then you make the Malan Oiso, and then after that, after he's healed, you take him to the mikveh, and then Modia Oiso. Doesn't seem to say anything about teaching process, but the shot we have to say is that it follows logically. In order for him to know how to observe Shabbos or Kashrus, well, I have always told the Ger, or the Geirus, that the moment that you walk out of that mikveh, you have to go to a home that's kosher. You have to know how to observe and observe the first Shabbos and everything else major things. You can't expect every dikduk of a mitzvah that a ger is going to have that total knowledge. But to be clear of what we call the major inyonim of Yahadus following the ger, which implies there is a teaching period. Now, I haven't mentioned anything else about here. You know, teaching a goy tailor is a big problem. It's a halachic problem. Are you allowed? You're not allowed to teach a goy tailor. One place it says Akum Shasik Batayla Chayav Nisa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and also in Chagiga, they talk about also the Laman goy tailor. I believe it's Chagiga Daf Tes. And Tesis talks about it. So there's an idea there, not just so how do we understand this. In fact, Rashi and Shabbos, when Hillel had the Ger come to him, how did Hillel accept the idea is bothered by that, and how did Hillel know, first of all, there was an ulterior motive? He had an ulterior motive. So Rashi answers right there in Shabbos in the Maaser that Hillel was betuach. He knew, he had the feeling that this guy was sincere. And on the basis of that, the Shach, it's really a Beis Yosef. The Shach quotes the Beis Yosef in Reis Samaches. He says, it means that Ein Ledayan Elamash Ein Eloi. It's a very important point. You know, it's very easy to use a academic rule to rule out all candidates for Giyur and so forth. You know, there's some people that do that. They're all this way, that way, so forth. It's the responsibility of the Rav. The candidate comes to him and he listens to them and so forth. He has to be able to look at the circumstances of this person about to make a judgment about sincerity and how his feeling is. It's almost, I'd say, not only a strict halakhic approach, there has to be a sensitive, intuitive approach which enters into Ein Ladayim Elamasha Ein Avroz. This is a very, very important point. Sometimes you're immediately turned off by the person that comes to see you. You say, this person is never going to be part of the Jewish people. And you feel that, no matter what it seems on the surface. So that's an important rule. You're generally Ein Ladayim Elamasha Ein Avroz is used more in Cheshen Mishpat things. But here, the Shach, quoting the Beis Yosef, says, on this matter is Ein Ladayim, we'll see it there, Reis Samaches. Now, in the matter of Kavana, of the, this is the main, one of the major problems, and you'll see the next heading I have there, Lashem Ishus. Now, most of the cases, let's not be fooled. You don't have the Ger Tzedek of Vilna coming to Graf Potocki, coming to you and wants to have the the kapana, to become a ger, intention to become a ger, you have people that are somehow, shall we say, entangled. Or they might be entangled in a serious or not serious, italicized relationship. Whatever it is, this happens to be metzius. Now, many times when I speak about geirus, I want to say that's not only the problem, we say, of modern times, or this attachment, especially of Jewish men to non-Jewish women, or so forth, is not just the problem of the declining years of the 20th century. I always like to cite a Bach. The Bach who lived at the beginning of the 17th century, in the beginning of Hilfes Mila. The Bach, I'd like you to read, I want to read over his Lashon, because it's an interesting Lashon. What the Bach is concerned, he has a Kasha there on the tour. Or Shaila, better, not a Kasha. The tour in Hilfes Mila, in that Simon Rei Sama, you'll find it, the tour almost editorializes. After all, the tour is a sefer of halacha. So what he should have brought is one Hilfes Mila. This is the thing. This assesses to do this and this and this. The tour has a couple of paragraphs where he quotes from many Gemaras about the godless, the greatness of the Tiyum Habris. You know, Gemara Nedarim talks about Gedela Mila, the Mishnah, Shenichnasu Aleha Yud Gimel Brises, and all of the Kamat, all of the Chazal that deal with the importance of the Chshivas of the Mitzvah of Mila. So the Bach says this is a sefer halacha. Why is the tour Mayvah so much? So I'm just going to read you his Lashon, and you get the idea. And when he comes to the conclusion here, the Yesh Laseis Leiv, Leiz a Tzeirav Heirich Rabbeinu Bedrush Zeh. Why is he making such a Lashon? Kenir Shavoya, he writes, Mizrashlim Mizmano B'mitzvah Zu. That in the time of the tour, which you go back to the, I believe that's the end of the 13th century, beginning of the 14th century, but they were a little bit negligent, maybe. Now, he says, V'zeh lo shamanu v'avoseinu mizikneinu. We never heard that Jews should be negligent in the mitzvah of Mila. In fact, I would add, the Gemara says that all the time, that when it came called mitzvah shekibul yisua aleim b'simcha, adayim eisim b'simcha. There's a certain, almost it's a mystic element that Jewish people run to do the mitzvah of Mila. And how come we haven't heard this? Kaloi nador shor shor rabbeinu b'seifei kol kach lachot mitzvahinu zeh. He's in the beginning of the 17th century, and there you go back a couple of hundred years, but not that far away. He says, V'ilu hoya dover zeh v'deiru hoya nishma gan lono. If there really was a negligence in Mila, we would have heard avol nira v'kushta. The truth is, shegam v'deiru hoya rabbi mishorim v'ovan zeh k'moshe nimtza v'doreinu. Now, what's the sin? The sin is not in the maisa bris Mila or anything else. He says what it is, she'ein nizor v'kiyam mitzvahs Mila k'mamor. There's a concept of shmiras habris, the kedusha, the sanctity of the mitzvahs Mila as the identity, the meaning of a Jew. V'hu ki ikha mitzvah liyas all of those bris kedush, mi'eisa shmo hakodos. And he writes further, lishmor is called kufa, we call tumas arayas. Vihine, here's the point. Harve nichshol nichshulu be'odon zeh, le'tamas os bris be'arayas, or v'yidv of nice kusim. Goyas, he said. And he writes the following, with nice kusim, omar leading bonim la'akum, into marriage, or relationships with goyas. So, in other words, these things were in existence, and what on it were not unknown. That's the way the Bach explains why the tour has such an extensive emphasis on the importance of Mila as a concept rather than just the dialogue, but it has to do with the possibility of taluvus, mesuyei taluvus, or just these relationships. So, therefore, when galing or possible candidates come, we have to be concerned, first of all, there's many, most of the times, they're involved as a maisa here with the shemishas. Now we have the Gemara, the Mishnah, Gemara and Yevamos, Achav Dala on the days, which seems to repudiate all or reject all candidates for gear that have in mind a connection to a non-Jewish source. When you have the Mishnah, the lesson there in Chav Dala on the days, Hanitan, it says there, the lesson, that Nitan means very simple, Shifta, the Nishtako, Alavedis Kefavin, is Gaira. That means that there's a rumor going around that this man has there a Goya, whatever it is, almost like a call of the low posse. He's going around with a Goya. Well, the opposite way, but here it puts in that form of the Nitan. So the Deen is the says in the Mishnah, later on, let's say Shin is Gaira. He's not supposed to marry him. That's what it says. And then the in kines, but in kon kines, aimotsiyam yodim. But if he did, in other words, after she became converted, and it was a marriage, so you let them live together. The only place is where we separate them, if there was a rumor about what an Asha siege, that we were not allowed. So then the Gemara goes on further and says, as Madaik, but it seems that if the intention of that woman was to marry a Jewish man, that's why she became converted. It's a raiho gielus miyahalim. A gielus she is. So the Gemara asks Akasha there from about the makabo, the echad ish and his gaya l'shamisha, the echad ish and his gaya l'shamisha, the chemish and his gaya l'sham shulkan l'lofim, l'sham abdei shleim. In other words, for an ulterior purpose, that the Jewish people are very well off, now's a good time to marry a Jew. Time of shleim amela, shulkan l'lofim, and so forth, whatever the motive is for marriage. And Einam Gaylin, Divay of Nechenya, Shoyer of Nechenya, Eimei, Echad Gaylin Arroyos, Gaylin Mechakalaymas, Echad Gaylin Mordechai Viesta, Einam Gaylin Achi is Gaylu Bizman Azeh. Until they have Gaylus Bizman Azeh, you know, what do you mean Bizman Azeh? Salkatai, Einam Kibizman Azeh. Just like in this particular time, because it means that the wound doesn't mean that there were, the Dean Gaylin were not. We're not valid up to now, but it means like we have the situation of today, that a person should not become a gay because of an ulterior purpose, like Rashi says, Machmasor. However, the Gemara comes out with the Psak in the Gemara, the halacha kedive ha'ema kulam gaving me. In other words, the halacha is that although the Hatil is not supposed to accept them, but the halacha is Kulam Gaylinay. And that's the way basically the Psak is in the Rambam and the Psak is in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, however, what happened in modern times, let's jump all the way. Why do I say, I have to emphasize another thing. If you look many times at the beginning of Hilchos Gaylus, especially the beginning of the Aruch HaShulchan, he will write, there always were concerned, you know, there was a prohibition whereby the governments, especially when you didn't have the complete separation of church and state, or so forth, it was against the law to convert somebody from Christianity, for example, to Yiddishkeit. So that's the reason why the Gaon Tzedek was burned at the stake. He violated that. They gave a death penalty. It was a terrible thing. I think to this day, in a Muslim country, if a Muslim, we call them Muslims, they call them Muslims, a Muslim who wants to convert to another religion, if he's in a fundamentalist country, they will execute him. It's a death penalty to go away from the religion. So that's why for centuries, gaving were not, it was not that well known or afraid. Many people were afraid. So it all for sure, as in the beginning, the Makam Shemutu of Piyamalkas, he has some statement to that effect. But once you had emancipation and everything else, and these laws were removed, you had in the beginning in Central Europe, the good part, and of course the United States, Western Europe, and in quotes in other places, you had a growth of prospective candidates we gave us, and most of them had to do with possible nisui kahunas. They already were into marriage, or they were considering marrying a non-Jewish source, and the problems of giur came up. Now, there's a full discussion. So, what do we do with this halacha? This halacha says specifically that you're not supposed to consider this because he has a relation. So it's already a case of mitan. You're not supposed to deal with it. It's only b'de'evit. And no, it would seem no bezdin should l'chakhila deal with something in that case where l'chakhila is also, but b'de'evit is going to be mutter. So there were daily of the generations, I mean of the 20th century especially, and even some from previous, that had these particular cases. With Chaim Ezer, in the Achiezer Chelik Gimel, he has several tshuvas, Chavav, I have it all enumerated here, Chav Zayin and Chav Ches. He is matir to do this l'chatchila in a case where they see that this relationship, of course, is understood is not going to break up, and it's also understood, as he writes, which is very important, that the people will observe, the person who really will observe mitzvahs. That there's some umdana that will clearly show that they observe mitzvahs, but on what basis, how can it get around the Mishnah of Hanitan? So he brings the Tshuvas HaRambam in the Pe'er Hador, and with the Rambam had a case in Mitzrayim, there was a case with a shifta, that a man had a shifta goya, and he seemed to have relationships, it was already a nitan ala shifta, where he was matur. Well, on what basis was he matur? Because he said, mutav she'eichel basar shkutas tmusas, v'she'eichel basar nevelas, the lashon of the Gemara, the Rambam writes that. So, the Chaim Ezer doesn't challenge the Rambam on the basis of the Mishnah and the Gemara, he uses a strong language. Divrei HaRambam hein yasei gadol. He says the Rambam, taken in other words, looking at a practical situation, realize he's not going to be able to separate this man from this woman, and so on, so you might as well, so we'd have to say in Blumness, it's like a David case. It's already, it's a fact, you're not going to change it. There are two other gedalim I found parallel to the time of Reb Chaim Ezer that basically quote the same Tshuvas HaRambam. And who is the other one? The other one is Meir Simcha. He also Meir, but he doesn't quote it in the Sefer on the Rambam, in the Tshuvas. Chelik Beis, Simen Lamed Beis, he says the same thing. And also, I found a letter written by the Yecheskel Abramsky Zal, the Odom Gadol, Talmud of Reb Chaim, and the foremost dying in London for many years. It was a Slutsker Rav. In a letter that he wrote to a Rav here in America, I knew this Rav. This was the old Yalov of Syracuse. And you might have heard something about him because his daughter-in-law won the Nobel Prize. Rosalind Yalow, she's a daughter-in-law. So Rav Yalow is a fine Talmud Chacham, has a letter there from Rav Abramsky in his Sefer Shalmei Shmuel. There's two scrolls he wrote. Shalmei Shmuel, Abramsky quotes the same Tshuvas HaRambam. So they rely on that Tshuvas HaRambam. In other words, in seeing this type of situation where you're not going to be able to correct any situation, you might drive away the man from Yiddishkeit or whatever it is, to rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam to do a gavus, but it's always understood as to be a proper gavus. It should not be like a case, and I don't want to digress, but I'll tell you a practical situation. That, you know, years ago, the RCA was in a bit in turmoil. Must have been about a little more than 10 years, the Denver case. You heard of the Denver situation where the rabbinate of, let's say, the Orthodox rabbinate of Denver says that let's try out this situation. Let's do long giur to halacha, which means they would have vila, tvila, kabbalas mitzvahs, the three elements of giur. That's what you have to have. And that would only be done by the Orthodox men, but the Reform and Conservative would do their teaching of their people, and they would bring them to the Orthodox group, and the Orthodox would make the giur. So there was a tremendous later expose, I called it an expose, the New York Times was written on it. It's when I lived in New York, that somehow they wrote all about it, that practically all of the converts that came by way of Reform and Conservative didn't observe anything. They didn't observe, although the process, there was officially the halachic process of Mila, Tvila, and Kabbalah's mitzvah. There were no observance. So at that time, the RCA was concerned. The men were from the RCA too. One of them later on said he had total chavot, and then they changed it. They stopped doing it. But there were one particular person was adamant, I would say, totally unrepentant as to the procedure, and a commission, a small commission, part of the Beis Din was appointed to look into the matter from a halachic standpoint, and based mostly on what the Chaim Eizer writes in one of those tshuvas from the Shanim, if there's an unda to the muchach, and based it mostly on it, it's for that the person is not going to observe mitzvahs, kiyam mitzvahs, so the galus is kegalus. It's not a galus. It's a stira in the Kabbalah's mitzvah. If there's a hope that there would be, that's one thing. Although there's a Kabbalah, if there's, really, we see later that they're observing mitzvahs. If they didn't say all the mitzvahs, anything else, but they're observing, that's good. But if there's a home to the mocha, the person is the same after the galus as what before the galus. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, even the Times article, they discuss whether they even lit candles on Friday night. We're talking about minimal things completely. So we came to the conclusion that we made two principles, that we're totally, there was no kiyam mitzvahs, we don't consider the geus a geus, but we put one caveat in there, that every case over there should be considered individually. Not to make a sweeping generalization. Now, I have to tell you, there was somebody in Chicago, a woman came to me when I came to Chicago, and she was one of those that went through that process, and she was a shomeres mitzvahs, like a geus tzedekes, but she was concerned because of the bad publicity, whether she's going to have to go all over again. So I said, look, you're observant, and you had the Beis Din, so there's no reason for you to be worried about. You had a child, the child was in the day school, they went to Israel for a while. She lives in the West Rogers Park community, which is a former area of Chicago, and nobody really knows that she's from there, but she came to me, and I gave her a letter of support saying, in other words, in case somebody challenges it, to say that I affirm, I gave her sort of an ishur that that was proper. But this is important. Now, there was one gadol as an astounding, I would say, a heter. It's an astounding heter. Now, with Pioneer's approach, and that seems to be the approach of many, it's in the Chubas of Mesha, that if it's clear that the person is not going to observe mitzvahs and not does not observe mitzvahs, as the giur is not a giur. However, the Vishen Letzion, Rav Uziel Zal, Adam Gadol, well, the time of the time, he was a contemporary of Rav Kook, and then also later of Rav Herzog. He has in his Mishpate Uziel, he makes a chilek, and you know, it seems to be opposed by everyone. I happen to have here a copy, in fact, a Spartak Love one sent this to me, of the statement of Rav Uziel, which I said is in the minority, even Rav Avadia Yosef in the Abia Einar opposes it, opposes the whole idea. But he writes the following, he makes a filling between, strange, and it's hard for us to understand, between Kabbalah Sanitsis and Kiyam HaMitzvahs. And here's the language of Rav Aziel. That's in the Spate Aziel, Chelik Eben Ezer, Simen Pop, where he writes the following here. And he tries to make a deal in that Mechaber, that actually from that Gemara, which is brought into the Shulchan Aruch, that Blaisa about the Ger that comes and wants to be a candidate. And he writes the following. Of course, the Lashon is the Shema. The Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch is the Shema Kavanoso L'Shamayim. So Mikan Mefurish Yotze She'ein Dorshim Mimenu L'Kayim HaMitzvos V'Af Lo Tzov She'Bezen Yedu She'Yakayim HaMitzvos. Tremendous score for this. V'im Lo Kein Lo Yiskabel Gevim V'Yisroel D'Mi Yarov She'Goy Zeh Yirmem And Lo'Po Mitzvah Satera. Who can guarantee it? We never know whether they're going to do it. I mean, that's the way he says it. Elamasha modiyim lo mitzas mitzvos ukadeshim yetze yifros ukadesh lo yukaleva anakahila yodati lo yisim is gai vizela kahila. I will be the evadim lo hodi you enema ake. So Mikola arma lo amadno. So what's the yesim ikvara? He writes. She'eit nai kiyum ha-mitzvos me'akev es ha-gevas ha-filo ha-filo. That's what he writes. Tremendous kula, which most Puskim find unacceptable. They find unacceptable that there has to be some approach of possibility of kiyum ha-mitzvos. Now the question, we don't count up what kiyum ha-mitzvos and how for the kiyum ha-mitzvos, but it has to be some evidence that the person's mekayim some specific mitzvah. So that enters into other areas. But he is the one that is a very big makel in that particular situation. Now, let me go further here in the matter of the. Of the one of the shilas here, let's go over to Giyur Ketanim on the matter of children or adopting children and so forth. Now we all learned the Gemara in Suvas and Daf Yud Aleph about Giyur Ketanim Matvila Noisal Das Bezdin. We can have a ketanim and we cannot make any statements about observing mitzvahs or not observing mitzvahs are cotton. So the Besdin becomes like the patrons, the sponsors of this giyur. And as he says there, who is this cotton? She'imo heviyosa lebesdin. The mother brought. In other words, one of the parents, and of course it's understood that the father brought him, certainly. But the mother, the goya, brought him. Bezin. The approach is that for him to enter into Klal Yisrael is a schus. This is the major approach. So on that, there's a responsibility of the Bezin, and the problem always is, let's say that you have two parents, a couple, Jewish couple, legitimate Jewish couple, who are not observant. They don't have anything in their house that they don't have a kosher home. They're not observant of Shabbos. They might be a member in some shul or temple or whatever it is, and they're adopting a child. Now, there's another thing that we have to understand, and I'm just saying this as a matter of practical approach. A couple that are chasukei bonim, I say, Rahman al-Islam, are agonizing. The agony is something that is really unbelievable sometimes when you talk to these people. Yiddish would say that chalasim for our kids. They've got to have it. Want a child. They'll do almost anything to have a child. So we have to be sensitive to that, of course, within the boundaries of halacha, to make some. But we have to understand how tough it is for these people. Let's say they've searched out and they have a child. People go all over the world. People come to us from Paraguay, from Brazil, from Russia, from Mexico, from somewhere in the deep south. There are some lawyers that specialize in how they do it. You know, they have to do it within certain legal boundaries. It shouldn't be that they're putting up babies for sale. There are large sums of money. But that's not. Bezdin is when they come to Bezdin, they've been through that. They already have the child. They have the child already. Then they find out they want to legitimize this particular child. Of course, it's understood there's a danger if you take a Jewish child that we don't know who the parents are, what the parents are. It's called up. It could be a Shiloh of Mamzevus or whatever it is. So the most great Bali Haroah, I mean, Hirsch von der Rov said it, and others said it, don't take a Jewish child because you get into that particular problem. I mean, you know, once it has the blemish of Mamzevus, it's impossible to get rid of it. They're going to get rid of it. So they advise taking a non-Jewish child and making a Gerkot Madbilon HaRishol Das Bezdin. So if you have a frum couple, no problem. There's no problem as far as how there's going to be a schus for the child. But let's take it to the logic. If it's not a frum couple, and the child's supposed to have a schus coming to Klai Yisrael, what kind of schus? If he's not taught Yiddishkeit, when he grows older, but so far, he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, he has to have an Einish. If he remained a Goy, he wouldn't have the Einish. So it's not a schus, it's a chayv. It's a chayv for her. That, in simple terms, that's the way it would be. So how do we handle this situation? I mean, what guidelines as to who the parents are? Now, there are some that will say very simply, the parents must be 100% Shemei Teru Mitzvahs, which in most cases is not true. It's not true. Now, there are different places have different guidelines. So I know that in Chicago, we have the rules are the following. I mean, this is what we feel, and we're sensitive to it. The parents must have a kosher home. They must be cautious there. Because, I mean, the moment the child is brought into that home, I mean, from the standpoint of Yiddishkeit, they're not being matantim in with the Velas or Tapis or whatever it is, right? Those are things. There must be a written, almost like a notarized statement, they will take this child into a Jewish day school, not just a Talmud Torah, but into a day school. And they must be members of an Orthodox shul within walking distance of their house. So the approach is there. We're encouraging these parents to remain close to Yiddishkeit, and we feel. I mean, there's where we go in Ein L'dayin Elamasha Ein Adrayus. That's where we feel that once a child is brought to the status of a day school situation, comes home. With things that get involved in that, there will start elements of going towards Shabbos and everything else of that sort. So this is the approach that we have there. We have a good feeling about such children. But if the couple will not, as some have done, and I told somebody privately, where we rejected a couple, they wouldn't want to institute kashrus or anything. They didn't want to change anything in their lifestyle. And the woman, when we rejected her, she wrote a scathing letter to the Bezdin. Why are you doing such a thing? We're Jewish, and my parents are Jewish, and so forth. And why can you do such a thing? But we stood firm on that because we felt that there has to be at least that. I call it minimum standard. There are other groups that will not accept a child except if the both parents are absolutely full, you know, in all Shabbos and everything else of that sort. Now, you should know that there are attitudes. I'll take the question in a moment. There are attitudes of Gedalim, Bechlal, you should know this, against adoption. That Moshe is against it. Adoption. Now, he writes Shilas about dealing with what the Rabbanim asked him. The Ramesha is against adoptir. In fact, his lesson I have in one of the shiurim I gave, where I copied it over, where he's quite against it. Let's give the lesson here on which tshuva that is. About adopting children. Let's take this out. He writes about adoptieren because he feels that you're taking from a non-Jewish source and you're bringing zera nochrim into Klal Yisrael. I will locate shortly the exact tshuva where he writes this.
Yeah.
I think that's the particular one there. But I have it also. Oh, here I have his lashon that he deals with this here. Well, he has his lashon that he says about that. Who also is against adoptieren? They use that language. Rav Henkin's off. Rav Henkin, in the tshuvas that were from the Kisvei HaRav Henkin, the Felix Beis, also has mention of that. That where he's very much opposed to this idea of what he calls adoptieren, of adopting children. Here it is in Tshuvas Ivra, Simon Thomas Bayes in the Kach Sheni. You know, they published posthumously the collected Ksavim of Rav Henkin, where he writes the clouds, Simon Thomas Bayes, the Kach Sheni. Omnon lo maisa bizman azev in medina zuv inyan tomer ma'od. Aleph, he writes, he has Aleph Bayes Gimel. Shehuvam ein shaymei mitzvahs mamela ein zes chuslam. You can say this is not for me and come a joy. And the whole gavus is no gavus. That's where it's mentioned. That's brought to Rambam Hill of Malachim. Where he talks, he mentions that. Not in dealing with the exact context of gavus. So that's that particular point. The second point is that the etzem hachnosus is attitudinal approach. To make us Einam Yehudi, the Yahadus, Me'ele Hamas Panini, the Kaas Antesheni, very much concerned. Anti-Semites would say that Jews are stealing. Now, I mean, this is a sort of a feeling, it's an attitude. It's an attitude, which I don't find that to be true from experience with this situation, but that is his attitude. And he's concerned about this will be great and war, and he writes about this particular approach. And he says, Al-Kay nearly Vasil Zeb Hechel. He wants to he's absolutely opposed to it. Even if the mother brings him, he says, and legally this is what happened. The mother brings him up for adoption, the mother gives it, and so forth. He says later on that's going before, so you have cases where they try to reverse that. Well, alright, not joining, but this is an attitude that you find. A similar attitude basically is expressed by the, Chalice of Tubas Minchas Yitzchak, you know, the Rabat of the, Eidach Ladies, Radai and Weiss, Taylor Gimelson and Sari Test, also has a long discussion of this and he is not too much in favor of doing that, and if it is, he insists that both parents should be 100%, you know, as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah. What is rather strange is when I talk about schus, the schus and schus and peel, you're talking about dealing with about them because of the schus and the enterprise as well, what the schus was perfect. That's the favorite one of them. But you find that shows how the wrong and racist now, how he faced the practical situation, the famous case, where there was a basement. doesn't say where the day school was, but there were teachers there that were Shane and Taylor, Mitzvah, you know, the name Taylor, and in the day school, as it happens, in certain communities, you can't help it. I found my experience living in Brooklyn, in Borough Park, when people can sort of ask me about different things in Gaylord, there were problems that came up in some of the Borough Park yeshivas or the adjoining areas where things slipped through the net. Kids were in a day school for years, and they found out the mother either didn't have a proper healer or the event in Gansanak later. Never was it. What are you doing? Or they throw the kid out or what? The kid already has been legitimized to the extent, where did you, it'll go somewhere else. Where did you get your Jewish education? I went to yeshiva. I went to this and this yeshiva. And it's true. I was there for years. Now, there was a certain law that told me, the Talmud of the law of Yosef, who was amazing, who said that he asked this once for what he was in education. And the law said if he had already slipped through the net and was for all intents and purposes legitimized, he should go through with a gear. Make sure that it is, because no matter what you say, he learned and you see the so-and-so. That's already a sort of an added nicer in a case where something slipped through the net. Let's say you have an outlying community. Many of the smoking media come from communities outside of New York where there are many cases where if you want a community day school, you can't just set up a barrier to reform and conservatives are making gavers and they're sending their child to this school for whatever purpose. So what do you do? What are you supposed to do? And the gear of reform and conservative is not acceptable. Basically, it's not acceptable from the standpoint the main concern there is the so-called desdin that they have, who are not mamining. Even if they practice mitzvahs, but if they're not mamining, and if they are doing things which will make them in the ghetto of being a washer about them, not observing specific mitzvahs or whatever it is, and especially they're not minding the Tevah Shebaalpeh, they're in the Sinai, they could be in the ghetto of Apikursus, so it's an unqualified person. And the Iker Kvotel, the main Iker, by Gior, especially according to Tasius and a lot of the training, is the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Kabbalah HaMitzvahs has to be done by a proper person. Gior Tfila, not necessarily, Kabbalah, but if it was the Evid, those have postulated that you wouldn't have to redo that. The main thing is the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So here you have a case where the Gior is absolutely spurious. What do you do about such a case? Now, the nice examined it very carefully. He said it might be a possibility. You might have to close up the day school. These teachers might lose their positions. And where they are spreading terror to legitimate people. So he said, try to convince them to go through another gear. I am not going to be so thrown where's the source? Where's the source? So the writer says an astounding thing, and I found out it's not the only one that said it. Someone else said it before, a great follower of law here of the North American continent. The writer says it's a source, so to speak, that is brought into the Claudius oil. That itself is a source. That they're taken away from a not a legitimate part of the cloud, that they're brought into Klal Yisrael, which is difficult in a way to understand. Who's the other Rav that said this? I found that was the Baril Grobar, who was the Stasher of Rav in Poland and later was in Toronto for many years, and was a recognized place. In his name was Avolin Van Eening, he has a tune similar to that, where he says that would also be a school study taken out of the Klal Akam. Once you take him out of Klal Akam, although he's not told to come into the Klal Yisrael, but that's already a specific source. In pondering this, it was hard for me to understand, but I brought a parallel from another tshuva, an interesting tshuva, an interesting loss from the Munkacher world. The Munkacher was faced with this type, and remember, the Munkacher was no mingle when it came to certain things and certain attitudes. And the Shiloh was this. There was a gear cooking, a possible gear cooking made the meal. Later on, unfortunately, before they got to the field, the child died. So he asked the Shiloh, can they bury him in the Jewish cemetery? We're talking about Munkach, one of the Carpathian communities, to tell you the control of those communities. He said yes. Very well, because he already went out of, although he didn't come totally into Klal Yisrael, but out Klal Akum he did. So he could bear it. So it seems that there's this element of truth once he's removed from some total detachment to Goyim. I mean, it's a strange concept. The halacha is very clear. Vila kabbalas mitzvahs by legitimate veteran. But it seems that Moshe had this idea, my little Grobach had this idea, and we see a sort of kernel of the idea there in the Memphis halacha. The fact that I think the same, yeah. Yes, I do. Again, you know, I have here a long discourse. I'm trying to put it all together over many sessions in both in the RCA or in other places. I've collected all the material. I have a whole file on this basis with Gia. People a lot of times say I'm a G-man. Gita and Gia. That's my deal. You know, I'm a G-man. Some say that was a Galatiana, but I'm not a complete Galatiana yet. Now, let me just try to give you the source here. I have. Well, I can give you both. I'll just be a bit patient here while I get it out and have it. Here it is. Well, I've only been eating Chalik Dalit Simulon. That's where you have it. Simulon. And, Chavoli, Silas, and Chubas, Chavoli, Van Eden, Chalik, Dalit, Simulon. They republished an edition a few years ago of that. Strange as they seem, his son, unfortunately, W. Grobach, was a conservative rabbi. And was the head of the conservative Bez in Chicago that did all these things, and unfortunately he was not the same as Taylor Nixon, if I ask you all of that. But he had it republished, the works of his father. His father was known in Europe, the out of Poland, Sasha Belov. Now, yeah, he writes here, I could give you the lesson of this, sounds very similar to the Mishnah. Aim way with the fall of Tom Shabbalah, the Shum, the Swusolo, the Gorsa Shai, Rakhid, he is all the Mishnah. I've been even dressed all these other Nakhis and so forth, he says. But later on, he says the following. I will walk a shakot in who, yes, Lena, she yinhold, he says, but Dake Ayadas, and he says that the father, he's talking about a case of a father intermarried. It's a married situation. The gam all the Yoshi Bachuba the suffix, oh yes, Lema, the gam in lo yakaim hanitsois. Habiskus se nichnas the bris yisoil. On the working womulus I gave this child. So that's the case. Now there's a Shaila. There's a hard work from the year. Yeah, just a minute, just a second. It's located here. It's one of the later halakhim of the Moshe. Let's see. Don't have that. I'll tell it to you. Let me find. I'll find it later for you. But it's definitely there in the Shuvas of that nation. Yes. Yeah, well, let me give you this situation, which is described in the Avia Ema. As this situation, and this is a thought I heard once in our chapter with Langerson speak about it, and the revelation was very adamant about it. The question is, where does the Bezdin stand when there's the yield, when there's the field? So if you're dealing with a man, no problem. They're right there, standing over the Bible Mikveh, and they're Mavian, I say, and he's standing, and the man's standing in water. But you have a very delicate situation, and that's what they're saying it that way, both the woman. How can a Bezdin, like that's the way it's described, another is the Bezdin stands outside, and then they go in the room, and the Tovel is table before them. That's the way it's brought in Gemara and Yevamos. That's the way it is in the Shulchan Aruch. And they're right there. They see the field. So, what was happening is the Bezdin didn't do that. A lot of the, even if it was an Orthodox Galus, the rabbi stood outside. They talked to the woman in there, and they had the mikvah woman say, the Shomeres, the tinkering, as they say in Yiddish. She said she went under the water. There was a splash, and that was that. And of course, they asked all the questions of, you mikabel all the mitzvahs without exclusion, whether it's Shabbat, Tosh, about that. I mean, because that's the main aspect of Kabbalah's mitzvahs. There should not be chutz. The Gemara says of the Chavis, and that one of which we dig the gap and the people say that should be any excluding thing. So, the Misha has a big problem with that, where he's saying that, you can't do that. They must see the field. However it is, they have to see the field. He wasn't talking about the question of man or woman, but must be the field. The fact is that the long tshuva to die in Rappaport of London, dealing with this particular case, and so forth. So that posed a lot of problems. Posed a lot of trouble. Doesn't mean all the gavers that these men did, who were sincere men, let's say, and even if the people came out to be gaving tzaddikim or gavers tzaddikas and so forth, is not a gaver. I mean, you're gonna have an awful thing on your hands, and so forth. So, the Rabbi Yosef deals with this Shaila too, a very long tshuva. Yaviyah Eina, I'll tell you in a moment what the simon is there. Yaviyah Eina. And, first of all, he opposes our seal who says that it's alright, and all that. But later on, he brings a maisa for what happened with the Shmuel Salant. The Shmuel Salant, his credential was known in El Tisrael, the Sola Kadisha of the Ara Kadisha. Lived a very long life. He was a basic of the Tala law of Yerushalayim. Someone asked him a shiloh that this happened. Where this happened, where for whatever reason, for the Bezdin could not see the tefillah. So all he said was, we know that there was a tefillah, but it was not a Bezdin to get to. So that doesn't matter, but most Pesukim say that, many Pesukim say you don't need Bezdin or the actual tefillah or so. You can say you were intimated in the Rambam. But the main thing is Kabbalah HaMitzvah. So he says you take the person and the Bezdin sits with that person and the Kabbalah HaMitzvah without being in the Mitzvah. Supposing the Bezdin were to be in the Kabbalah HaMitzvah beforehand without speaking. So this is the Evan, I mean, using it as the Evan approach, not saying that's what I feel. So what does the Rabbi Yosef advise in order to what I feel? He advised with a sheet that should not be a chitza or something floating on the water with the head cut out. In fact, years ago at the RCA Pesach. I discussed this with the Steinberg Zal, the late Pesach, the Autumn Gordel, and Paul Havor. And he said, Amen and Alaylach, you know, so that just, that this would help. When I came to Chicago, I found that the gior of women was done this way according to the Havor, self of the big Havor, the Vice of the Havor, the Vice of Zal, and that's the way it's done. It's in a very loose fitting sheet, and of course, there's nothing indelicate over there. So the bezel stands right there, and the Chachila, the Chita, the Chita, the Chita, and so forth. So that takes care of that particular problem. Now, according to the question of legitimization or problems with reform and conservative, I know Alpia Shmua that I have heard years ago that Hankin, Zal, who was the Autumn Gordel, tremendous, and one of the Amude Havoa in America, in fact, all the Rabbanim used to defer to him before, even after the Mesha came on the scene. In fact, the Mesha many times says, the Gam of Hankin, Biski, I mean, they always saw this kind of dust. But Hankin used to say that when you're dealing with a get situation, well, this is crucial. You have someone that went through a gior of the conservative, let's say, and they did have, let's say, a dealer and so forth. He said if there was at least some element of the halachic process, you should have a get lapuma. Make a get lapuma. Not just, and of course, what we do as a matter of policy is such a gay, or gayless comes in for a get, we do the get, but we stamp on the floor, ain on the, in fact, we made a special stamp. We have it in Chicago, about Michigan, and St. Louis has it. Ain onu akvoyim alakiyuranal, because we have to identify the person. We write on her, you know, we write to her that she's, generally these people are not observant. You know, there's a difference how you write it in a get. If she's according to the Taylor Skeeton, according to the Taylor Skeeton, if the gay or the gayless, no matter what kind of gay they went through, are not observant, you write hagir or hagayless. To write then of Long Avino, that's not good for our Long Avino. Such a son is not a credit. So he said, you leave that out. So any time that I see a poor that does a gear gavis, it's almost a certainty that person was not observed. In fact, I asked them when I'm Kaveya Seamus, I asked them, I said, I'm not trying to pry into your piety, but could you tell me, do you observe the Sabbath? Do you do this or that? So most of the time they say no. So on the get, I would write Peggy Davis instead of Vas. That's the approach. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, you can't, it's not a question of prevent. In fact, the Levation rights, others write, that boy, do it here. You have to tell him. You have to tell him. You must tell him. In fact, if you don't tell him, he could be 20 years old, and you tell him then, because that's his idea, and then he could reject it at that time. Well, you judge, you have to, first of all, support to tell him that he was adopted. Okay. And you have to tell him that it came from whatever source, and you went through. I'm not a psychologist, so, but you have to be very gentle. Maybe you have to ask a psychologist how to do it. I would defer how you break the news, but he's got to be told.
So he has to be told, let's say at the age of 10 or 11, you have to wait till.
Well, if the Russian says he's zero, when he came across, that would imply. That particular
or what if the child already knows at 10 years old, growing up in a Jewish.
Well, if they know, so then there's this approach. So if they know that approach, if they keep observing the
mitzvahs, that's already an affirmation of it. If they stop, if they're stopping, that's already a rejection. That would be the problem. But then getting into like with the repeated, you know, it might be halakha yad. All right, unless you want. Well, you know, they do mention the idea of what is the nature of Hankin, that when they talk about well, I'm a gavel yosem, the same thing. They have an example. Someone raises to have examples of people where they know exactly it was Chaim and someone's child. I know a family in Borough Park that was members of my congregation. They were a wonderful family. They have children of their own, but what they did was they adopted children from Hasidic families that were metupal bialot, that couldn't handle them, from dysfunctional families. In fact, they once went, he's now the Satmar Rav. They went to him when he was the Sigat Rav. They went to him, and it was a family, there was a little girl that was entrusted to them just to take care, like for foster care. Later on, they went to the Sigat Rav and explained the situation. It was a dysfunctional family. The father abused the mother, or vice versa, the children. And here, this girl, they were raising, and they, so there you knew exactly the yichus. There's no problem. There's a secondary problem, which is raised by a craving. I'm not going to get into that now. If you have an adopted child, what about the deed of yichud? The problem of yichud. You know, you got a father could be, have yichud with a daughter. A mother can have yichud with a son. But if you have an adopted child, it's not your son. It's a stranger. So you're allowed to have yichud or not. So, I know that Waldenberg has written a truth about the teacher of the Yezer. You have to look at the Matthias, we've all seen it, but he's Matthew. He's Matthew. And the whole, the major storm book, the Rita, is very much against it. He mentions it in one of his notes in the Moa Game of Money. I've seen an extensive notes about that. So, in fact, I think he cites it as very neat. And I think Weiss cites it as very neat with the Kasute Money. Why did the Hasidic ever adopt the child? Stuff to think about, such a love and bubble and have children. But that's one of the considerations that I've heard of certain people in the Torah world that will not adopt a child because of that problem, not because of talking about a Jewish child. That's a second best problem. Would you have one?
Going back to the Achyezah, that the Uzzah Mucha, and a dying as a Masha and a Broad.
Yeah.
The question always comes up is how bad is David? There's some people who hold, you know, by us that you have to be 100%, 99%, that they're going to be Shomashan. Others hold that if you have a good feeling, that there's a good chance of going to be Shomashan, then that's good enough.
Yeah.
So, which way is it? I mean,
well, that's the feeling that we have in Chicago. Our approach is, I'm telling you. That there might be considered others as a wrong approach, but we have, if we feel that these people are going to go and prove, because what you're dealing many times at that critical moment of when they're adopting a child, these people, it's a fairly young couple, are going to point in the right direction. You have a chance now to save really two people, to bring them into the Yiddishkeit. I mean, I'm very positive about it. If you have the feeling that this will do it by making it, putting a few conditions here, I think you can go with the aim of dying and not dying at all. But if you see that this is not gonna work, it'll be all the way around. Yes.
From a young man, who's not sure seminary, who's very, very observant, and I asked Shiloh, and I had him do my talk about bridging and over again,
yeah.
Even though
you
seem to imply that may not be
necessary. Yeah, well, let me explain something about the Atzilut Bris. I mean, the Atzilut Bris, I'll give you an exact case. It was the first time I saw a case dealing with the question of Atzilut Bris when it was not done with Shem Gil.
And I'll tell you this kind of case. It was a child in a Brooklyn commutator. In fact, one of the members of the RCA, still around the book, Rabinovich, was in Brownsville. And he was up there in one of the big shul and had a commutator. And later on, they found out a boy was going to come by Mitzvah. His mother was a great. Come by Mitzvah. And he had a police meal. So he asked the Vaidanovov. Vaidanovov was the major Rosen child. You should know that. The major Rosen was considered one of the big Bali Havor in Brooklyn. He was the lover of the Zaynich. The Zaynich said about him, because he always didn't give him his credential, said, in his literature's book, Ken Sass, I mean, you know Sass, back and forth, that I have as a direct quote from somebody that visited the Zaynich. Now, the major Rosen Haskin, his sock was that since the Moyo that did it was not aware that it was he said that he did it with Shem Yahadus, Yiddishkeit, he does not need a Talmud on this. Who rules the same way? You look at the Shuvah's heart speak, but here's Pesach Punch. And with his Pesach Punch, Shuvah was addressed, I had it published in Adelon, was addressed to one of our Kabbalim and the RCA in Chicago. Rabbi Smith, who was one time president of Skokie Yeshiva, he gave me the copy of the Shuvah, and he said the same thing. If it was done, the Shem Yahadus, so that we could remove the demand to have a puppet on this. Yeah, well, there might be a different getter, see. But the question is, it was the Moyel. You know, to tell somebody, you go at Tov and Tam Gris, it sounds well, you say it's only a ceremonial making, but sometimes But the Shaila that the Rabbi Rosen discusses about Kabbalah, you're making a wound. Are you allowed to make a wound when it's not necessary? That's a Shaila to the Reis.
We have time for two more questions.
Okay.
What was just mentioned here is, I think, going to be a much bigger Shaila down the road. I just had two such cases of children in Ramaz where one case they were coming in and I knew about it, the other case I just found out about it when they joined the shul, that both mothers had been converted. And they were converted by careful conservative rabbi. All right, it was not a frivolous kind of conversion. It was a serious conversion in both cases, very serious. And I decided after consulting a little bit that we should do another gerus. Not so much because I think that the first gerus wasn't good. I have reasons to believe that in both cases the first gerus was good. Because I know who the rabbis are and I know pretty much who the thing. In one case I know exactly the thing. But I'm afraid that 20 years down the line the children will have problems.
They will.
And so I don't know what the world will be like in 20 years. So I want to protect them, and both families went through it fine. After discussions, careful discussions. However, in each case there's a girl, one of the children. Each family is a girl. The issue is going to be, can she marry a Kohen 20 years down the line? That seems to me to be not fair. I mean, they went about it, in a... So, if I feel that the first gerus was good, but the mother's gerus was good, what is your feeling?
Well, we say the first gay is good. I have, in principle, will not accept the MISA anything done by conservative or reform. I don't care who they are. Because you're dealing with, you have a dual problem. First of all, they might say, oh, they're observant in this, but you don't know most of them. The approach is,
know, you're dealing about Ikrei Yehoimuna over here. They don't read the Torah, you see, and so forth. I mean, I've known many that I, they say, I've been out in the field for many years in different communities and known the conservative rabbis and all of that, and some who seem to be fairly scrupulous in certain mitzvahs. When it came to what we call Ikrei Yehoimuna, there, like what the Chinuch says, that the Sheis Ori Niklet uses the expression, the Hakdam of the Chinuch, of mitzvahs that have to do with the Emuna about Hashem, and the belief in Hashem, and the Tenus of Alper, or the Sefer Ikri, and all of that, they reject all of that. So how can you have that part of the bed? Plus the fact, you can make another situation. The problem is, and remember, I have to speak with the Bezin statement, I cannot in any way accept the decisions or the heroes of a conservative Bezin. Can't do that. So years ago, the Rav was asked this child, and I know I happen to be present on our Steinberg Zal, that we had this question. There were ciphers that were writing Eaton for our Bezin. At that time, the seminary were asking these ciphers to write Eaton. And so forth. So the question was, should our surfing go to the seminary and write the Gita there? I mean, is it going to be a Yeshiva or so forth? So, Steinberg, who always consulted with the Rav, I mean, they had a wonderful mutual understanding and respect for each other. So the Rav said, if it depends who, if then it was Boaz Cohen. He says, him, Aben Kenneth Apollos, he will do it right, let the surfing go there. Then, even after he was gone, some of our sefer, especially one of them, is a very big Talmud. Could be a Dayan in any Bezin. He says that he's in charge of it. And the AD, my Kosher AD, Adarabba, let him go and make a Kosher again. That's it. Under those particular circumstances, that's, I would say, exceptional circumstances, which is not true today. You have people there that know what they're doing, like I have in Chicago. The Robart, known to be in the Hall of Shabbat of Parnassia, the Rebbe became a Munach, you know, on account of Robart, about four great Rosh Hashiva, the Hutner Rosh Hashkas, came, when he heard that Robart became in a conservative place, he says, I'm not going to give Smith anymore, if you want to fire me, give me a lower class, which they didn't do. So they never gave Smith after that time. And, the present head of the so-called conservative Bezin in Chicago is a known Mahalashamsa. I mean, you have to be very careful. And again, down the road can be awesome consequences. Terrible consequences. So, if you can't marry a Kayan, then you can't. That's what it tells them. That's all. You have to avoid the Cohens or the others.
You wouldn't have the mother who's reconverted.
Yeah.
Wouldn't suggest that they make a
bracha. Well, that goes into certain matters, whether you have to make a bracha or not. I mean, that's, you know, they have the same tiles in some of their traditions. So, the Rebbeisha writes that a reformed rabbi makes a so-called Siddur Kedusha, and he's a Rasha, and the bracha is a bracha of Akola, and if you're going to make a new one, you have to make the bracha. That's what he taught. But, in some other cases, others like Osterberg has a tshuva. In his sefer, he has about 100 styles of tshuva dealing with Bali tshuva. So there's something there about a kedusha. So he says to make the kedusha, but not to make a bracha. There's different opinions of it. The bracha is at hand. All right.
I want to thank Rabbi Schwartz for his presentation. He'll be available during the rest of the day to answer shabbos. Everyone's invited to lunch.
We delayed lunch 15 minutes in order to enable us to end the sessions properly. So if you will go promptly and go on.
There could be, I mean, there's some of you think that there are a lot of people. Yes, you can.
That's good.